It's been a long time since I've read James. Maybe I shouldn't confess that before anyone, but it's the truth. I mean, there's some books of the Bible that, I mean, I don't read through the Bible all the way, I guess. I don't know. I study, I read. But anyway, doesn't really matter, I guess. But y'all pray for us tonight as we try and look at this. James chapter 1 and verse 1 says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day given to us, Lord. Thank you for the blessings of our lives. And thank you for the opportunity given to us to be able to be here tonight, be able to worship you. Lord, we thank you for the day we've had, Lord, and the word that we've heard already go out today, Lord, and just keep it in our ears, keep it in our minds and our hearts, Lord, and just help us to not forget it, Lord, and just be with your word as it goes out tonight. Lord, take me out of the message and use your word as it goes out to mold and make us as you want us to be, Lord, and just help us if any of it offends or pricks us in any way, Lord, that we wouldn't back up, but we would allow you to do your work in us, Lord, your perfect work. Lord, you just got to lean and bless in it, Lord, and be with those that are away, bring them back home safely. Be with those that are sick, Lord, heal their bodies up, Lord, and just be at the prayer request, been mentioned in men's and women's prayer class, Lord, and Lord, if you would open up our eyes, Lord, that we can see the things that we ought to be doing, Lord, and as individuals, not only as a church, but as individuals, Lord, that you have something for each one of us to do, Lord, in these prayer requests we bring to you, Lord, that you would open up our eyes and show us what we can do in them, Lord, and that we not do them for our benefit, but we do them for your glory and honor, Lord, and that that we give you the glory for showing us what we can do, Lord, just kindly blessing it, Lord, and be with us tonight, Lord, be with the lost here tonight, Lord, save them, help us be witness to them as we ought to be. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. We look at this and I thought it was kind of neat that verse 1 here is James. So that's who's writing the book, James. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. The 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. I looked in commentaries. You know what they said about this verse? This was his greeting, verse 2. That's pretty much about it. This was his greeting. Now, and it's true, it is his greeting, but I think there's more in it that we can look at and we can see. Because when you look at this, he says, James, a servant. He's not just any servant, though. He has a master, okay? He has someone that's in charge of him. He has someone that he's writing this letter on their behalf, if you will. He's writing this letter and someone else is in control of him. Okay? And it's not just this letter, but it's his life. A servant. Okay? And when I was looking at this, as it were, praying about it, thinking about it, that there's something more in this scripture, in this verse, than just a greeting. There seems to be more there, and I was praying about it, and I was at work. Somebody asked me, one of the other trades asked me how I want to handle this situation. You know what I did? I got on the phone and called my boss, who I am his servant. He is not at the job, but I am my boss's servant. That's what I am at work. And I represent him. I represent Legacy Plumbing, John Ives, when I'm at work. That's who I represent. And so, I don't make up my mind according to what I want to do. I could. There has been people that have done that, and then they went on to a different job. And that's what happens. You can't be a servant and follow your own will. Okay? So James is saying he is a servant. But he's not just any servant. He says a servant of God. He's a servant of God. Our Heavenly Father, He's God's servant. That means He represents what God wants. He does what God wants. His James's will is also the will of God. Okay, is what it should be. That's what it should be. Or maybe I'm saying that backwards. That God's will is James's will. I don't know how to say it, but anyway, you know that what I'm saying there. He's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this because you look back and you read about Christ. What does Christ say He is? What does Christ say? What did He say to His mother? Wouldn't you be that I'd be about my Father's business? I mean, Christ was here for what? To fulfill the will of His Father. That's what He's here for. James says, I am here to fulfill the will of my Heavenly Father and my Savior. That's what I'm here for. I'm a servant. My attitude, my thoughts, my actions are not my own. But I'm representing my Heavenly Father. That's what I'm doing. There's something been on my mind for a long time. And I have not said it because it's going to start out sounding like, what are you doing? But just hear me through with this. And you'll understand. Now, at work, any kind of construction trade, you don't go to the bathroom in bathrooms, you go in a port potty. Okay? You're like, no, what? Okay, just hear me out. When you go to the porta potty, you don't read anything. There's all kinds of things written on the porta potty walls. You don't read nothing. I was there the other day, and I was reading before I realized what I was doing. And then I started praying, because I'm going to tell you what it said. It said, Dear Lord, I didn't write it, but it said, Dear Lord, thank You for the day. We offer You all that we think, say, and do. I about started crying. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't think I want to offer everything that I think, say, and do. Because I know my mind. James is saying, I'm a servant of God and the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything I think, everything I say, everything I do represents my Heavenly Father and my Savior. That's what he's saying. Ask you a question. And you answer this to yourselves. Are you a servant? And if you are, and you are, who's your master? Are you a servant to yourself? Because that's possible. It's very possible. You say, how is that? Are you a servant to your flesh? Okay. Are you a servant to your job? Are you a servant to your bills, to your debt? Or are you a servant to the Lord? Who are you a servant to? Could you honestly write this in a letter and send it to someone saying that you are a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you take that and write it down and send it to the people that know you the best? And what I'm saying in that is, who do they say you're a servant to? Who do they say? I can write down all kinds of things. I can write things down and I can tell people that I just met all about me. But what does my closest people say about me? What do those that know me very well, what do they say? But more importantly, what does the Lord say? Does the Lord say He's a servant of mine? Says James, a servant of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who James is. He's not... look at this. He says, my name is James. The only reason you need to know that is so you can call me by name. Everything else about me does not matter. Only thing else that matters is the Lord Jesus Christ and God. That's it. That's all we know about James here is his name, James. The rest is who he follows. He doesn't tell about anything he's done. He tells about who he serves. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the important thing to him. He doesn't tell who he's writing to first. He tells who he serves. And then after he tells James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, he says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. I think that's neat too there, that they've been scattered abroad. And yet, they're still in communication with one another. They're still together. There's this thing that is said, out of sight, out of mind. James didn't have that. They were still on his mind. People that were scattered abroad were still on his mind. A lot of times, when we don't see someone, we begin to forget about them. And that's just the truth. That's what we do. We're so consumed with our own lives, with things we have going on, we're so busy that we can't think about the others that are scattered abroad. We forget about troubles and problems other people are having. We're focused on our own. But he's writing to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad, greeting. To me, that's his greeting about who he's writing to and who James is. We don't know. We know it's James, but some of the commentaries you read, the scholars don't know which James it is that writes this. That's not the concern. That's not the concern. The concern is he's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 2 and he says, my brethren. I love that. My brethren. Oh, and one commentary I read said that he said, my brethren, because he was writing to only Jews. Okay. I like what Gill's commentary said. Said he was writing to the Jews, but more importantly, he was writing to those of like faith and order. That's why he said, my brethren, because he's writing to the saved. Okay, there's a bond between us. You know, like Dad was saying about Brother Bill, he is like family because he is. He is. He's my brother. Tracy's my sister. It feels like they are because I know them real well. I pick on them like brothers and sisters. They pick on me like they're my brothers and sisters. All of you here feel like family because you are my family. We have a fleshly blood family, but then we also have another blood family. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what James is talking about here. My brethren, the closest bond, you know, it seems like, is with through Jesus Christ. There, that bond that you can have. It's more than just a flesh bond, but it's a spiritual bond. My brethren. Now the rest of this, that's all nice that we've covered so far. But he gets into things I don't really care a whole lot for. So we're going to stop now. I'm kidding. But, says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, prayed about this, and I prayed about it, and I wondered about it, and I prayed about it, and I read it. I read it over and over and over again. Because the one thing I don't care for is some terminology. I don't like it when people say, oh my, look at that, they have fallen into sin. That just bothers me. You don't fall into sin. You go into it. You know, now I understand that it become bigger than they expected it to be. Now I understand that, but you took the first step. It wasn't a fall. Whoops! A fall into sin. I didn't mean to do that. Oh. And I prayed about that. And if I'm wrong, then I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right. And if I'm wrong, then I want to change what I've been thinking. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. It seems here, when you read on down through here about this, that maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't seem like he's talking about sinful temptations. Seems like he's talking about at like testings. Okay? Count it all joy. And I can't help but to think about Job. Job went through this. And not once did he go against the Lord. Not once. He stood firm. He stood fast in the Lord. He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. When you're serving the Lord, you're following Him and you become tested. Count it all joy. Don't. One of my biggest problems, if I'm not careful, I'll look at the situation. That's what I'll do. I will concentrate on the situation, how to fix the situation. I'll concentrate, and when you're doing that, you're looking at what's wrong. You're looking at things that are going wrong and trying to fix them. And what happens when you do that? Well, from personal experience, I'll tell you, you're not real joyous. Okay? It takes all the joy out of the whole thing when you're looking at the problem. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We need to get our attitude right towards those testings. We need to look at them right. We need to look at them and it's an opportunity. Guy at work, Tom at work, when I worked at the Willows with him, the superintendent, when this job first started, we had a lot of problems. There was a lot of issues. So he come up with this thing. You call him up and say, Tom, I got a problem. No, you don't. So no problem. We have no problems on this job at all. Yeah, okay. I don't know what job you're on, but you're not on this one. He says, nope. And he made an announcement at a performance meeting. From now on, when you call me, you have an opportunity. You know, it seems funny. But you want me to tell you something? It worked. The attitude changed on that job. From an attitude of, oh my, I have to go to work again, to what can I accomplish today? The attitude changed. We no longer had a problem, but we had an opportunity to learn something new. Okay? When we find ourselves, we fall into diverse temptations, we're being tested, we're being proved. We have an opportunity to succeed. We have an opportunity to see the Lord work in our lives. Whenever we tell you, I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again. Whenever Melinda was born, y'all know the whole situation about all that and everything there. And Melinda and Trish were at the hospital, and I'd go home, have to work the next day, go home and sit there, and had a TV in our bedroom, which that's recently been gone and never been back. But sit there, wake up in the middle of the night and watch TV because I had a problem. Couldn't sleep. Watch TV, fall asleep finally, but never get a good rest. And that went on for a while. And the Lord laid on my heart, get your Bible. Put it on your headboard. And you wake up in the middle of the night, don't turn the TV on. Turn the light on and read. First night I forgot to do that till I woke up. I didn't want to get up and go get Bible, so I turned the TV on. It didn't work again. Next night, I had the Bible in there with me. I woke up. I read and had a good night's sleep. You know why? Because I changed. Before, I'd had a problem, and I turned the TV on for a solution. Okay? But the first night I read the Bible, I had an opportunity. Woke up, I had an opportunity to study. Had an opportunity to let the Lord work in my heart. My attitude began to change. There was less and less times of me waking up at night because my attitude had changed toward the situation. And I could have joy. Not that I want to go through any of that again, but we could have joy through that because of where we were looking. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, how do we do that? Well, let's read verse 3. Verse 3 says, knowing this. So, first off, why will we count it all joy? Verse 3 tells us why. Okay? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith, the testing of your faith worketh patience. Now, we all know, don't pray for patience. Because you get trials. You get tribulations. We have enough of them come upon us without praying for more. So, knowing this, when we go through this trial, when we go through this testing, there's some things we need to know that we need to keep in mind. Number one, it's going to be for our benefit. It's going to be for our good. Because he says here that the trying of your faith worketh patience. When we go through a testing, who are we having faith in? Our strength. If we're having faith in our strength, we're not going to make it through it. We probably won't make it through the first 15 seconds. If we're having faith in our strength. When you're going through a trial, don't look at the situation. Look to the Lord. Because He's where we get our faith from. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I tell you, when we have an opportunity to serve the Lord, He can do so much in our lives. Just like when we're going through a testing, we're going through a trial. If we allow the Lord to work in our lives, we keep our eyes on Him knowing that He's faithful. Knowing that He can take care of us, knowing that He will. Now, when we go through the trials, they seem pretty big. The trials, the temptation can seem huge. They can seem overwhelming. But I'll tell you, the trials that I've been through a lot of times, they taught me. Number one, they taught me that I'm not in control. They've taught me that the Lord can handle it. The Lord can take care of it. It's out of my control. I can't touch anything. I can't do anything. One of the things that I've been through, and mentioned one already with Melinda and her being in the hospital, and y'all remember these. I know you remember every one of them. But Melinda and Trish were still in the hospital, and the insurance called up and said they're going to move Trish to a different hospital. Y'all remember that? Because Barnes did not accept our insurance. So we prayed about it. I was very tempted to scream, yell, holler, and pitch a fit. Very tempted. I asked the lady on the phone, do you have children? Yes, but that's not the point. And she's insurance. The point is not her children. The point is mine. They called me back up, and they said, after discussions a while, after arguing talking. They're going to move her. As soon as the doctor releases her, they're going to move her. But they called back up and said, we have decided. The insurance company called back up. My hands were tied. I could do nothing. Nothing at all. I did not scream, yell, holler, and throw a fit. Prayed about it. Prayed. Y'all prayed. We all prayed. The insurance called back up and said, we have decided to leave her there. What insurance company is going to decide to pay a bill they don't have to? To me, it was a trial. We let the Lord handle it. The Lord said, look, I'm going to let this happen. I'm going to let this do it to see how you're going to handle it. We brought it to the church. The church prayed about it. We prayed about it. We were very concerned about it. Prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about it. And we got done praying. We prayed some more. And the Lord said, okay, now that you're trusting in me, I'll show you what I can do. I'll show you. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Sometimes what we need to do is to wait on the Lord to work. Sometimes we need to learn that it's not about you and me. It's about Him. And Him doing the work. And us relying on Him to do it. That's what it's about. And knowing that He can handle it. You know what? He doesn't need our help. He does not need our help at all. Whenever we help Him, it's kind of like whenever our little children, when they're just starting to walk and they want to help us vacuum the floor, and we say, thank you for your help. It took me twice as long. Really? Oh, and they're happy as all they can be. It's like us helping the Lord. It takes Him a lot longer and we mess up a lot more stuff. But with the Lord, He doesn't need our help. He goes on in verse 4 and says, now that verse 3 is why. Why we can have joy in it. Because we understand. And we're not looking at the situation, but we're looking at what the Lord is going to do. We have an opportunity to see the Lord work in a trial of our faith. He is going to work patience in us. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, we can go through a trial. We can know that we need to have joy through this trial. And we can not let it work in us. We can throw a fit. We can pitch a fit. We can complain and gripe, bellyache, woe is me, and try and do all that we can do in it. And never let the Lord take care of it. And never learn the lesson. And never have patience. But He says, but let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work. Let go. Let patience do her job. Let the Lord work in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You look at this, it says, but let patience have her perfect work. We should not hinder the work of patience in our lives. I'm just going to read what I wrote down here, and it's my writing, it's not anybody else's. When patience works its effect in our life, we become more like Christ, more like the way we should be, and the flesh has less a grip on our life and our attitude. When that happens, our outlook will be on the right, will be on the Lord. When patience can work her work in us, when we begin to see the Lord is in control, we have a trial, we have a tribulation here, we have a problem, an opportunity, if you will. We have this. So what do? We wring our hands and sit down, or we go run and hide. We pray. We do what the Lord wants us to do. We keep going. We don't lose faith. We don't lose sight that the Lord is the one that's in control. We be patient. Let the Lord work in us. There's a reason why we're going through trials. We're not going through them because the Lord was bored. Okay? That's not the reason. It's not because, you know, our neighbor went through it, so now we have to go through it too. No. It's because the Lord has something He wants us to learn. We need to open up our eyes and be ready to see what He wants us to learn. Sometimes we, you know, I've told guys at work, when I get a new pre-apprentice in or a new guy in, even a new journeyman, my job is to make sure your job runs smoothly, but one of my most important jobs that I cannot get away from, that I have to know how to do, and even as our parents, our staff, and our school, it's the same thing. Even as a parent, it's the same thing for our children. We have to learn how they learn. That's what we have to do. You cannot teach anybody anything unless you know how they learn something. Because if I'm teaching you the way I learned it, you don't learn it that way, you're not learning anything. I work with a guy that he would tell me something. He would say, when I was first started plumbing, he would tell me how to do something. I'm like, I don't understand. I don't understand. So he would tell me it again, but louder. Like, yeah, that helped it really sink in good. You know, I learned different than him, but he could only teach the way he learned. That doesn't help anybody. Okay? We learn different ways. The Lord sends us through different trials because we learn in different ways. The Lord knows how we learn. He knows what we need, when we need it, and where we need it for us to learn what we need to learn. It says, but let patience have her perfect work. Don't hinder the work of the Lord in our lives. Don't be mad and upset that you're going through a trial. Look to the Lord and not to the trial. And that is because that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. As the Lord allows us to go through temptations, He allows us to go through trials. He uses them to make us what He would us to be. That's what He does. He uses it. Excuse me. To build us. That's what He does. The more you learn to be patient and wait on the Lord, the less you try to push your way through. Think about it. The more, and it's not just in trials that we learn. Say it again. It's not just in trials that we need patience. It's in everyday life that we need patience. But we learn patience through trials. That's where we learn it. And the Lord sends us trials and causes us to learn patience in those ways. And we don't push our way through. We learn to wait on Him. We learn that in every aspect of our life, the Lord is in control. When we are patient with the Lord, with what the Lord wants, we will be more patient with those around us and will not be so angry so quickly. I mean, you think about it. If we go through a trial, John Ives, my boss, one of his uncles was a Marine. And he was there. I want to say he's an older man. So I want to say he was there. He was there on, I want to say it was D-Day, but I'm not sure if that's the right one it was. But when he got done with that attack, he lived through that one, barely. And they took him right from that one and put him on another major one. He lived through two major attacks in the same war. He said it's been years ago, that came home and his house had been robbed. His wife threw a fit, was crying and screaming. He was like, oh, well, okay. No biggie. I mean, when you've lived through something as major as that, being robbed ain't nothing. You think about it. When we live through trials, when we see the Lord work in our lives, when we see Him, He brings us through these trials, these tribulations we go through, and the patience, we allow patience to work in our lives. We allow the Lord to work. We've learned our lesson. We've learned what we need to learn from the Lord. In everyday life, those trials, the smaller things, are not very big anymore. Well, those things that used to be real important to us, our pet peeves, if you will, pet peeves, they kind of fall to the wayside, some of those do, don't they? But we learn the Lord's in control. When we're more patient with each other, we'll more than likely see more good in people because we're looking for it. And we'll be living, we'll be living a more healthier life. Because we'll not be worrying about things, we'll be waiting on the Lord, we'll be patient, we'll be worrying about situations and things because we know in the past the Lord's taking care of things. He can do it again. We're patient. Letting Him do His work. Letting Him work in our situation. Trusting in Him. When we allow patience to have her work in us, and I think all this is a progression, we will begin to forgive as we should because we are becoming more like Christ. The goal of patience is to point us in the direction of perfectness. That's the goal of patience. That's the work of patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Dad preached this morning about having our mark, having our target. Isn't our target to be, I'm going to say it, I don't like the word, but I'm going to use it, to be a Christian? Not the way the world says Christian is. You go out there and you talk to a guy in the bar that's drunk. If he's a Christian, he'll say, yeah. I mean, most of them, all it is believing in God. That's all the Christian means to the world. But it's not that way. You understand, when we talk about Christian, we talk about someone that is Christ-like. Their life mimics the life of Christ. I don't know if mimics is the right word there or not, but it's like the life of Christ. We need to count it all joy when we go through trials, when we go through tribulations, when we go through problems. Why is it? Because they're not really problems. They're opportunities to see the Lord work in our life. He goes on in verse 5 there and he says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You're going through problems, you're going through trials. Ask the Lord how to do things. Ask Him if we lack wisdom. Look down, if you will, very quickly in verse 12. I have a line from this all the way back up to verse 2 and 3. From verse 12, says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Blessed is the man, extremely happy, is the man that endureth temptation. That goes through him, that stands through the temptation. It's the temptation he's talking about up here in verse 2. The trial. That endureth the trial. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. We say we love the Lord, right? And I say it that way because we say we do. How do we show our love for the Lord? How do we show it? By standing firm. By trusting in Him. By allowing Him to work in our lives. By allowing Him to do those things. Letting Him mold and make us. We pray. We pray before our food. Thank You, Lord, for this food. Make it go to nourishment our bodies. And use our bodies as Your service as You see fit. Sometimes I wonder if we even know what we're asking. Lord, I'm willing for You to use me in any way You want to. Do so. So, and then we pray that, Lord, use Your Word as it goes out to mold and make us as You want us to be. Those are both great prayers. They're very good prayers. But do we really mean it? Do we want the Lord to take His Word and mold and make us and show us any issues in our lives that need to be straightened up? I mean, none of us really want anybody to come up and point out our issues, do we? I don't know about you, but I don't care a whole lot for that. I mean, but it's got to be done. Let the Lord work in our lives. And our time is up. We're going to stop there at verse 4. But he said, pray about this. I know this has not been a message to the lost, but the Lord can work in your lives. He hears your prayers. You pray and ask the Lord to save you, and He will. That's a promise the Lord made. He made it to me, and I prayed, and I asked the Lord to save me, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. Somebody told me that one time. You just pray and ask the Lord to save you, and I said, smart luckily, I have, and He didn't. They came right back and said, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep seeking. You keep calling the name of the Lord, and He will save you. And I kept calling. And one day, I gave up trying. I quit trusting in my trusting. I quit trusting in my praying. Anytime someone gave a testimony, I wouldn't write down the testimony, but when I got home, I can almost remember that testimony word for word. And whatever prayer they prayed, I would pray that exact prayer at home and go to sleep lost. That prayer saved them. It didn't save me. It wasn't the prayer. It's the trusting in the Lord. You trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him and Him crucified. And He was buried and rose again the third day. You trust in Him for your salvation. Not in your trusting, not in anything else. But you trust in Jesus Christ and He will save you. Thank you for your attention.